You're listening to The Leonard Lopate Show on AM 820 and 93.9 WNYC.
Hi there, it's Philip Galanis from The New York Times in for Leonard Lopate today. Between feeling like a wolf and wanting to be a princess with a Z, Jesse Klein finds the humor, which I found was all often located pretty close to the pain of trying to live up to absurd feminine norms. The head writer and executive producer for Inside Amy Schumer and self-described tomboy writes about her experiences of being a comedian while female and a girlfriend, wife, and mother in her new book. Best-selling book, I shall say, I shall add.
Sure.
You'll grow out of it.
New York Times is very important.
You'll grow out of it. It's published by Grand Central Publishing, and I am so happy to welcome Jesse to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I want to just, when you said girlfriend, wife, and mother, it sounds like I'm both a wife and someone's girlfriend.
I think you probably are. I don't want to judge.
Look, we all have a fantasy.
I don't want to judge.
I feel no judgments. This is a very safe space. I am currently just somebody's wife.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes. And the book charts a lot of the progress of, you know, going from a girlfriend to non-girlfriend to another girlfriend to
yes, boyfriendless.
The way love goes. I thought we should start out by asking you to describe the very binary but important division among all human women between
human women.
Wolves and poodles. Can you do that? One is either a wolf or a poodle.
Sure.
Please explain.
It's just sort of a light, fun metaphor that I came up with about, I just feel like women have different relationships to their femininity, and as you so aptly put it, their ability to kind of live up to absurd female norms. And I think some women are born able to like kind of relate to and achieve those absurd female norms, and those would be the poodles.
And give us an example of a poodle.
I feel like Angelina Jolie is a poodle.
Definite poodle.
A poodle. I feel like Keira Knightley is a poodle.
Agree.
And yeah.
I'm
a wolf.
You think you're a wolf. When you walked in the door, I thought, having read the book, I thought, oh my God, she is such a poodle.
I am currently a wolf in poodle's clothing.
Explain what a wolf is for our listeners who haven't picked up your book yet.
Sure, yeah. I'm sure they're rushing out at this very moment.
They
and then a
be.
Wolf, which is what I am, is my silly, lighthearted way of describing a woman for whom reaching those absurd female norms feels like tremendous heavy lifting. For me, like getting, you said, oh, you're a poodle. I'm currently in a dress and heels. I also have on sweat absorbers that are taped into the armpit of the dress, kind of a maxi pad for your armpit. I have on Spanx. And when, as soon as you said that thing to me about being a poodle, my glasses fell off my head.
That is true.
So yeah, I'm masquerading right now.
You're masquerading. You are a wolf in poodle clothing.
I'm a wolf in poodle's clothing.
In solidarity with you, I want to say that I had my ankle waxed over the weekend.
Oh,
I had never had anything waxed, and you talk a lot about waxing, so
yes.
I didn't want to go any closer to my anything sensitive than my ankle. And I have to say, it did hurt a lot.
Wow.
And I cannot believe that you did that.
An ankle wax, I mean, that's more than I shave my ankle, but I feel like that's very sensitive skin.
Oh. See, I thought I was choosing skin that, well, see, that's what you get
when
you haven't done it.
Well, I just appreciate this act of solidarity. Now,
do you think that poodles, that all people think they're wolves? Do you think that Keira Knightley goes around saying, oh my God, I'm such a wolf?
Yes.
Right?
I think so. I mean, what's been, first of all, the fact that anyone, I really pictured this book would just evaporate into nothingness the way like most books tend to do. So the fact that literally even one person besides my parents has read it is a shock. But what's been satisfying beyond just anyone reading it, is women wanting to talk about this poodle wolf thing and coming up to me and being like, what do you think I am? I'm such a wolf, right? Like, women want to be a wolf.
They
and
do. But
they do. And what I want to constantly remind women of, two things, and everyone, is it's not a judgment. Poodles and wolves are both amazing. And it's not about one being pretty and the other not being pretty. Wolves and poodles are both beautiful. It's just sort of about, again, like the ease with which you achieve the American femininity norm.
Exactly. Yes. Free to be you and me.
Exactly.
Where is Marlo Thomas when you need her?
Hopefully okay. Very close.
Hopefully close. One of the things that I loved about the book, and that I've loved about Tina Fey's book and Amy Poehler's book, Mindy Kaling's, you are now part of, I think it's like a movement. I think all great.
If I could be in a movement with those ladies,
great,
I'm very happy.
All those great ladies, all their great comedians writing about their lives and doing something really interesting. You take a hurt, you wrap it in a lot of comic bubble wrap, but you don't excavate the hurt. So the hurt is just there in like all packaged up with comedy. Mm. And it leads to an unexpectedly moving reading experience.
The way you describe this packaging.
Is that the way that you navigate? Is that the way you navigate a rough spot in your life?
By wrapping in bubble wrap.
And keeping it very funny?
It's interesting. I feel like, at least in terms of the writing, if we stay with the packaging metaphor, for me it's more like, you know when you get something that comes in one of those annoying plastic clamshells?
Yes.
And you try to open it with your hands and then you slice your arm open?
Yes, I know.
And then you have to get a scissor and it doesn't make it any easier.
Right,
and
knife,
so just
steak knife.
Getting to the hurt causes physical bodily injury. That's more what writing feels like to me. And sometimes with some of the chapters relating to some of the more difficult things like infertility or boyfriend breakups. Yeah, there's hurt there. But for sure, as someone who loves comedy and has always loved comedy, laughter, finding the funny in things is a great path to getting through them.
Yeah. One of the things that also struck me is that while you're writing this book, which you mention about 1,000 times, took far too long.
Yeah, I'm very slow.
You got engaged. You got married. You gave birth, all while working as a stand-up and as the head writer for a piece of that time and
yes.
executive producer of Inside Amy Schumer.
Yes.
And yet you represent yourself as a kind of hot mess / loser. And I'm thinking, what am I supposed to feel like if this woman who's doing everything feels like a loser?
I don't know about the word loser, which now feels very Trumpian.
I know.
You're a loser.
Take it back.
No. But I understand you're using a shorthand. I think it's not so much that I feel like a loser. I'm proud of, the work I was able to do while also writing the book. I am a slow writer. It did span the creation, gestation, and birth of a human. I think it's, again, I always want to acknowledge how hard it felt and feels. You know, I think it's kind of like when you see, for me now, you know, so much of what I deal with, I now have a 13-month-old and I gained 50 pounds when I was pregnant, and I certainly have not lost even close to all of it, which is fine.
I think lots of poodles say things like that.
Well, you see a lot of poodles or a lot of women in general who will say things like they seem to be back to the size zero they began at, and they're like, oh, I just lost the weight chasing the baby.
Yeah.
And you hear that, and then you don't, I didn't realize till I had a baby that babies don't move for like a year. So then I realized, oh, they were lying.
Yes, they were lying.
And so I never want to be the one lying, not to accuse people of being liars, but I always want to be really transparent about how hard it all feels. I don't, it's not one of those, oh, I lost the baby weight chasing the baby around. It's working as hard, losing weight as hard, writing as hard, etc.
I thought it was a, it's a great, it's also a great lesson, I think, for girls, for young girls, young women, older girls and older women reading this book, to realize how hard it is, how hard the media is on all of you.
Yeah.
And I thought it was a real blessing to give that to other girls. And were you thinking when you're working on the book and when you're working on Inside Amy Schumer, is that the 3x5 card that is above everybody's desk, like remember the girl?
Remember the girl. That is a good title for someone's next book. I think on some level, yes. I think in terms of the art, movies, TV, et cetera, that I take in as a viewer, audience member.
Bachelor.
That's a whole other interview we'd need 8 hours for. Hashtag Chris Harrison. Most interesting man in America. I always want to, I like to watch things that make me feel less alone about the things I am struggling with, because I think most of the struggles we have, for whatever reason, we tend to think, oh, I'm the only one. And it's nice to know you're not the only one. And then as a writer writing the book, working on Inside Amy Schumer, I know Amy has said this as well. I think we very much want people to feel like, oh, you're not alone. This is weird and hard.
It's a wonderful thing.
And this being life.
Yeah. And the TV show... Inside Amy Schumer takes up a lot of the subjects, not in the same way, obviously, mm-hmm. but it also takes up things like, you know, porn and the ridiculous beauty standards that women are held to. We have a clip, an audio clip, this being the radio.
Sure. Oh, okay. Where's the pictures?
A clip from season 2 where you play a salesperson at a boutique called New Body.
I'm so glad this is just audio.
Amy Schumer's character has just told you about her amazing new body, and it's an amazing diet plan, and she's looking for something to wear. Let's go to the clip.
Oh my God, I love this. Oh, but it's a size 0. That's a size smaller than I was thinking my new body would be. It's so cute.
Isn't it so cute? Doesn't it make you want to kill yourself?
Yes.
All right, listen to me. If I were you, I would just make my delusional diet a little more unachievable. Then it will hang on you.
Okay, why not?
Why not?
Do you have a place where I can sit and eat this muffin?
Oh, sure, right over there.
Did you write the sketch?
I did. And just to provide the picture, when I say right over there, she then goes to a bench of women who are eating muffins.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I love the term delusional diet.
Your delusional more than diet. Any,
I love that expression a lot.
Well, ironically, that it's funny you played that clip, because literally the other day, so I've been losing a little, still on my losing whatever, the baby weight, which is such a terrible term. But I finally was ordering a pair of jeans, and I did the sketch. I was like, well, I think I'm gonna be this size real. So I'm almost there. Ordered them. They very much did not fit. And I was like, why did I bought New Body jeans. That was the name of that sketch, was New Body.
New
I shopped
body
for
jeans.
My new body, and it did not work.
Do you think that, how much in your experience do your friends relate? Do all of your friends relate to delusional diet and new body jeans? Or do poodles even?
I mean, you know, it's impossible to speak for every woman or even all of my friends. I would say in the very unscientific survey of most women I've ever met, I think it's pretty difficult for any woman to escape the at least an occasional glance in the mirror and feel like it's not enough. And that is because we're all just little human vulnerable feeling gloops, and there is a giant consumer system around us aimed at making us feel like we have to fix something.
I so get it.
I mean, you see actresses talking about who are like this tiniest whatever most beautiful standard of beauty, whatever, and they talk about making movies, and then, oh, I didn't watch it because I can't look at myself, you know? And I don't think they're necessarily lying. I think everyone
it's
feels
there.
That no matter what.
Well, there was that in one of the incredible chapters in the book is when you win the Emmy and you are pregnant and you pull off the...
Well, I was 3 months...
I
had given birth 3 months before, but in fairness to you, you're pretty much still pregnant.
Yeah. I remember reading this
you
line.
You look
of the
and
thing.
Feel pregnant still.
It said your pregnant genes didn't even fit anymore. And I thought, well, how could that be possible after the baby? But I asked a friend and she said it is possible.
Because they don't tell you that you continue to wear your pregnancy genes for at least a year after.
So winning the Emmy and you've managed to pull off a montage scene of beautification where you're in a great dress and you're in a great hair and makeup and blah, blah, blah. And you feel like it's just not enough. And I've got to imagine that was a really hard chapter to write.
I wrote about going to the Emmys, post 3 months post giving birth. Your body, or at least my body, was still very much, you're just kind of a leaky, swollen, milky, this, that. And I find myself, in some ways, it's like, oh, the dream. You're on this red carpet. You're at the Emmys. I never in my life imagined, you know, I grew up in a tiny apartment. My parents, God bless them, both work for the city. This was like not in the world of what was doable. It felt like, oh, the prize. I've arrived at the prize life. And then I had to bring my breast pump with me to the Emmys because that's
I loved that scene.
And we didn't imagine we would win, and we won, and that was amazing. And then after the show, my breasts are...
selfie with Chris Pine. Don't forget that part.
I'm sorry. It wasn't Chris Pine.
Did I make up a fake celebrity?
No, it's not Chris Pine. It is. It was the guy who played Ryan on the OC, whose name is Ben McKenzie.
Oh, yeah. He's much cuter.
just to fact check you. So sorry. Yes. Anyway, I ended up in the basement of the auditorium with my dress off, breast pumping. And if you're not familiar with the machinery of that, it's extremely unsexy. I had this quiet moment by myself after what should be this fancy pantsy moment. And I just got to kind of quietly reflect on everything that was going on in my life, which was pretty topsy-turvy and in some ways very uncomfortable and new, being a new mother.
Right.
And the Emmy at my feet was exciting but did not plug any of the anxiety holes.
Right. It was a great chapter to read because it underscores how, I mean, in my experience, we really never plug up any of those insecurities.
No.
Or we can do our best.
Yeah.
And when I read something by someone like you who's doing so much and you share with me your vulnerability, it's a great gift.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I talk in the chapter about, I hope this was fact-checked. I feel like, and I write about reading an interview with Nicole Kidman where she talked about how she won her Oscar, I believe for The Hours, and it was right when she was going through her divorce from Tom Cruise, and how she won the Oscar, which... Emmy Schmemmy, Oscars even fancier. And she was single and going through this hard thing and ended up back at her hotel room at 11 p.m. with this statue and felt as lonely as she'd ever felt in her life. And it's an exciting moment. And then very quickly, you're just back to your life.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah, your life just kind of keeps happening.
I thank you very much
for
spending some time with us. I have been speaking with Jessie Klein, who is the Emmy-winning and Peabody Award-winning and
Oy.
New York Times bestselling author of You'll Grow Out of It. She is the executive producer and head writer on Inside Amy Schumer, and her book is published by Grand Central. Jessie, thank you so much for talking with us
today.
Thank
you for having me.